Defense Secretary James Mattis usually keeps a low profile, yet today was his fourth appearance this week before Congress. The retired Marine general has been testifying about President Trump's proposed defense budget, and at a time of political upheaval in Washington, President Trump has continued to rely on Mattis. This week, he delegated even more decision-making authority to the defense secretary. NPR's David Wellner reports on the Pentagon chief, who's playing his hand carefully.
When President Trump showed off his entire cabinet earlier this week, Defense Secretary Mattis was seated right at his side. Trump invited those in the room to introduce themselves, and Vice President Pence went first.
Greatest privilege of my life is to serve as Vice President to a president who's keeping his word to the American people.
One by one, the cabinet members followed suit, thanking and praising Trump. One, though, did not. It was the man he'd chosen to lead the Pentagon.
Mr. President, it's an honor to represent the men and women of the Department of Defense.
Rather than lauding the president, Secretary Mattis expressed gratitude to those under him for the sacrifices they're making. His parting from the pack did not go unnoticed. Philip Gordon was White House coordinator for the Middle East during the Obama administration.
I do think of all of the cabinet secretaries, Mattis has been the one who has most managed to just get on with the job, distance himself from everything that's going on in the White House.
Mattis has also distanced himself somewhat from the reporters who cover him. On a recent week-long trip to Asia, he agreed only once to answer a question on the record. It was about terrorist attacks that had just occurred in London. His response was guarded.
I need to confirm everything. I like learning about something before I talk, so let me look into it.
That cautious remark was immediately contrasted in news reports to the dismay of Mattis's handlers, to a flurry of tweets about the attack sent out by Trump. Richard Armitage was Deputy Secretary of State in the George W. Bush administration. He sees why, for Mattis, the less he says in public, the better.
I think Secretary Mattis is aware that he has several, sometimes competing constituencies that he has to satisfy at once. First of all, it's the men and women of our armed forces. Second of all, it's his president and his administration. Third of all, it's the U.S. Congress.
And this week, during his multiple appearances before Congress, Mattis has gotten an earful.
We're now 6 months into this administration. We still haven't got a strategy for Afghanistan.
That's Senate Armed Services Committee Chairman John McCain chiding Mattis for failing to deliver a plan for what's next in what's become the nation's longest war.
Do you agree that we're not winning in Afghanistan?
Sir, I understand the urgency. I understand it's my responsibility. We're not winning in Afghanistan right now.
Mattis promised he'd have a plan to share with Congress by the middle of next month. At today's hearing, he told House appropriators he's been given new powers to fight a 15-year war, which he acknowledged has not gone well.
This week, President Trump delegated to me the authority to manage troop numbers in Afghanistan.
That delegation of authority to a retired general to set new troop levels would seem to remove the argument from a faction-ridden White House over whether to escalate in Afghanistan. Former White House advisor Gordon says it also puts the onus squarely on Mattis.
That's the consequence of being given authority. With it comes responsibility. And if things don't go well, blame.
And yet, for now at least, Mattis appears to have Trump's ear. For a lot of the president's critics, that in itself is a relief. David Wellner, NPR News, Washington.